You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Bubba Henson of Sarasota, Florida. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences in both Rhinebeck and Saugerties. This month, playing I Like It Here, Sinners, Drop Dead City, Art for Everybody, The Uninvited, Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, and a lineup of special programming from Upstate Films Art House and Revival House series. Information about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
The world is changing, and we must change with it. The Thingularity Radio Show will begin emphasizing digital rights and protection in the coming age. Our new segment will be called Defense Against the Dark Arts. We will provide tips and strategies for cloaking your online and actual footprint. Find us on WGXC first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. or find us on your schedule at wgxc.org.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM, WGXC.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 14th. Local early morning temperatures range from 53 degrees in Tarnersville to 61 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 58 degrees. Air quality will be good today. Pollen levels will be medium. Today is expected to be mostly wet, especially around noon. We get a high of 67 at 5 p.m. Overnight, more light rain is expected. We get a low of 59. Tomorrow, a little more rain, a high of 74 happens at 4 p.m. Overnight, temperatures drop to 61 degrees, then rain all day Friday with a high of 79. Overnight, temperatures fall to 62 degrees, then Saturday will be mostly the same, wet all day long with a high of 79. Sunset today will be at 7:52 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:32 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 1%, plasma winds will be average at 404 kilometers per second, with an average density of 6 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently being impacted above 18 megahertz with an S2 level noise floor. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 54. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The Public News Service Tone Newscast, May the 15th, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. delivered a defiant defense on Wednesday of his drastic overhaul of federal health agencies, insisting to members of Congress that he had not fired any working scientists and was not withholding money for life-saving research. That's despite evidence to the contrary. That is from the New York Times. They report in back-to-back appearances before the House and Senate committees, Mr. Kennedy, a longtime critic of vaccination, also made clear that he did not think the health secretary should be in the business of making vaccine recommendations. He ducked questions about whether, if he had young children today, they would be inoculated against measles, chickenpox, or polio. RFK Jr. added, "I don't think people should be taking advice, medical advice, from me."
And from Reuters, Boeing landed its biggest deal for wide-body airplanes Wednesday when the state carrier Qatar Airways placed firm orders for 160 jetliners, plus options to buy 50 more. And next, Congress is mulling over a budget and tax proposal that could leave states picking up more of the tab for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP.
The changes, an estimated $230 billion in cuts, could cost Kentucky nearly double what it spends on public preschool statewide, says Dustin Pugel with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy. He says the state will be forced to absorb the difference.
What they're discussing could be asking Kentucky to pay 15% or more of the cost of that, which could be, if you're doing the math, you know, anywhere between $160 million or more.
Proponents of the SNAP cut say the program is bloated and will save the federal government $300 billion over the next decade. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
And correction officers and their supporters are rallying in Lansing today. They're urging lawmakers to stop stalling and act on bills that would give them the same pension benefits as state police.
Under the stall legislation, corrections officers would move from a 401k-only plan to a hybrid pension system shared with state police, a step aimed at improving hiring and retention in the corrections department. Michigan Corrections Organization President Byron Osborne says he questions the integrity of the legislative process, and he's frustrated that the bills passed both chambers with bipartisan support last year, but are still being withheld from Governor Gretchen Whitmer's desk.
We believe 100% that this was an orchestration of sorts. We don't know who orchestrated it or why, but the fact remains that nobody has offered up any reason as to why these bills still have not been sent to the governor.
Osborne emphasized that Michigan's correction system has faced a staffing crisis for almost a decade, and he says his organization has spent years working with lawmakers to fix the retirement plan for their officers. He warns that this delay in passing these pension bills is hurting their recruitment efforts. Crystal Blair reporting.
This is Public News Service. Next to North Carolina, where an organization working largely in the South is encouraging black women to become more civically engaged.
1,000 Women Strong is organized in rural parts of the state and more populous counties like Durham and Wake. In 2024, the organization knocked on more than 50,000 doors in North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. But National Outreach Director for 1,000 Women Strong, Aja Gaddy, says the group is focused on getting people engaged outside of presidential campaigns as well.
Our goal is to build lifelong voters and making sure that they are not just voting during a presidential election, but to understand that there's always an election. There's local leadership that needs to be found and also keep accountable. And what does that look like?
The organization is hosting in-person events, including sister salons, empowerment hubs, and student debt clinics. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
Environmental advocates warn President Donald Trump's proposed budget would cripple Chesapeake Bay restoration. More on that from our Daniel Smith.
Federal agencies have long partnered with six watershed states to protect its waterways. Harry Campbell with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation says the cuts would severely impact Pennsylvania and beyond. He adds that the EPA, which oversees the Chesapeake Bay program, faces a 54.5% budget reduction from $9.1 billion to $4.2 billion.
This would eliminate critical state grants and other support mechanisms that Pennsylvania relies upon in working with farmers. Upgrading wastewater treatment plants and improving fisheries that are so critical to the health condition of our rivers and streams, but also to our economic vitality.
Campbell notes the EPA supports states in improving water quality by funding projects and offering low-interest loans for upgrading drinking water and wastewater systems.
Finally, a groundbreaking radio show from the early 1990s is returning this weekend in Arkansas.
The Fat Lip Youth Talk Radio Show will be back on the airwaves Saturday on KABF 88.3 FM Community Radio in Little Rock. The show, produced by Ouachita Foothills Youth Media Arts and Literacy Collective, features young people between the ages of 16 and 24. Director Kwame Abdul-Bey says the broadcast gives teens and young adults a chance to express their feelings about a variety of topics.
We want all young people involved in the conversation, so you'll be hearing what they have to say, particularly as it deals with civic engagement and electoral justice.
The show will air from 3 until 5 o'clock on the first and third Saturday of each month. It can also be heard on KABF.org and internationally via the shortwave relay service. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Thursday afternoon show with Justin Calder. And for this broadcast, I'm going to feature an interview with Michael Boyle of the M.J. Quill Irish Cultural Center over there in East Durham. I visited the site to talk to Michael about the East Durham Irish Festival coming up on Memorial Day weekend. That's May 23rd and 24th and 25th. So it opens up on that Friday. And you'll hear all about what's going on over there, the full gamut of Irish culture offered that weekend. And you'll hear us tour around the grounds, and then we'll tune into a little bit of Irish music to follow. All right, let's get into it.
Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do here at the Irish Center?
Okay, my name's Mike Boyle, and this year I'm the chairperson for the running the festival. I'm on the board of directors for the Cultural Center. It's a nonprofit organization trying to keep the Irish tradition alive, as it says on our website, try to keep things going here. It's nonprofit, so anything we make is paying bills mostly, and we're always trying to put money back into the place. We've got a lot of roofs here to fix and a lot of maintenance to do and stuff like that. But anyway, this is one of our major fundraisers for the year, actually, is the festival. This is our 48th year of the festival. The festival was two other grounds before it came here, and I think they bought this place about 35 years ago, but don't quote me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's been run by different people over the years, and I was telling you, we have the beer garden here. We have four stages going this year. Normally, I think we've had three stages in the past. We've added another stage. The beer garden is kind of try to give you a pub feel. We have, you know, we have music in it. We have a bar in it and seating with like coffee tables and stuff, so to speak. Try to give a little more of a pub feel.
Right, right.
As opposed to a concert. Or stage, big stage. So,
yeah, I mean, we're in what, like a, I don't know how many hundred feet hangar here.
Yeah, I think it's like 150 by 75 or something like that. Yeah. So this is where we do. We also, so this year I moved it into this building. It's been in a tent for the last several years. It's kind of moved location around here. It's a little bit of a challenge because. The stages are kind of close together, so you're worried about music bleed from one stage to the other, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we have it inside. This is called the Patterson Hall, and it's inside. This is where all our vendors are going to be, and we're going to have two bars in here with the main bar in here, and then there's a little bar in the beer garden, and the rest of this will be vendors inside. Plus, we have outside vendors. We have about 50 vendors this year.
Yeah.
So we have a good lineup of vendors.
Cool, cool. What kind of stuff is it usually?
All kinds. We have a lot of crafts, a lot of Irish-made crafts, a lot of food, a lot of food vendors, pizza and Irish food, and, you know, your typical burgers and fries and all the ice cream and slushies and all that kind of stuff. But we got some great Irish vendors with the, you know, sweaters and flags and coats and I think some musical instruments and stuff like that. Yeah.
I imagine vendors as well as musicians and audiences. This draws Irish folks and
a lot of our patrons come from like down Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, Westchester, Massachusetts, up north, out west, Western New York. Mm-hmm. This year, you know, we've kind of upgraded our website and stuff. So I get, every time somebody buys a ticket, I get to see where they're from. And it's kind of amazing how far people, we even have tickets sold in Florida. I'm sure it's the snowbirds coming home. Yeah, it's we get a good variety of people from around. And then we probably get, I think we get between 4,000 and 5,000 people. I'm hoping to boost that this year.
Very nice. Yeah, it's nice to see, I don't know, there's a rich history of all sorts of social, ethnic enclaves having, you know, resorts up in the Catskills.
That's right.
So this one's still going strong, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's actually seen a resurgence since COVID.
Yeah.
You know, it was it's slacking off there for a lot of years, but the last couple of years now, we've seen a good resurgence and a good interest trying to get back to Irish roots and music and that kind of thing. Of course, Irish people, they listen to a huge variety of music, too. So it's not just about traditional music. It's kind of country Irish and bluegrassy Irish. And we try to accommodate all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have over 20 bands this year. And we have three bands coming out from Ireland. We have Tom Comerford, who was with the whole shebang, and he's on his own now. And then we have the I Draw Slow, which is a bluegrass type, Americana, Irish. They're out of Dublin. They're coming. They've played the Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival before many times. And we have a Michael English, who's like a six-piece dance band that's probably one of the top bands in Ireland right now. And he's coming up. He's our headliner for Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Shillelagh Law, of course, our local headliner on Saturday. And then we have two bands coming out of Canada. They used to be the American Rogues. Now they're the Devil's Brigade. Really upbeat. Celtic rock, kind of very, a lot of stuff going on there, bagpipes and fiddles and harps and drums, and I'm pretty excited about them. And then there's a group called the Irish Lassies. It's four guys, I think, and they're out of Canada as well. So we got, and then we have a lot of local, we got the Prodigals coming this year. I think it's one of the first times, Killashandra. They're launching a new album, and the Diddley Idols, always a great upbeat. Screaming Orphans, a lot of great bands.
Yeah. Is there going to be some more traditional dance sections, I imagine?
We have the Pride of My Vein and the Pearl River School of Music coming. They're trad. They're a real trad. Two trad groups, and what we have this tent over here now is a cultural tent.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of kids / cultural tent, and what we're going to have there is we have tin whistle lessons, Bowron lessons. We will have a guide down from the Irish Heritage Museum in Albany. It's going to be an introduction to Irish language. He does an online course, so you'll be able to follow that up later on. We also have dance lessons in here, like you were alluding to there. So we have Mary Feeney's coming in, and she's very fluid. In other words, if there's a lot of little kids that show up that want to dance, she'll teach them step dancing. And if there's adults and they want to learn the Highland Fling or the Siege of Venice or just a waltz or jive, she'll show them that. So she... kind of very versatile. She takes it as it comes. Whoever we get wants to do the lessons. That's
nice.
What we kind of accommodate them.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do a mix of everything.
Yeah. So all ages and all styles.
That's right. Yeah, we're trying to My goal here for the festival is to get families more involved, bring up more families to it. Years ago, back in the 80s and stuff, this was a refuge for young Irish that came out from Ireland and lived in the city and wanted to kind of see the green again and get up and meet people. And it was, you know, a younger crowd, more about drinking and socializing and stuff like that. And, of course, that's not happening anymore with the Celtic Tiger and immigration and everything the way it is. It's more of a all them people now have families.
Yeah.
And they remember coming up here and having a great time. So I'm trying to bring some family, kind of like a country fair type atmosphere to it, as well as the music.
Yeah.
We also have, we'll have tractors here because in East Durham, actually June 21st, we have a concert here, but also there's a what they call a Honda 50 run. So Honda 50 was the motorcycle that a lot of young guys in Ireland back in the 60s and 70s, when they couldn't afford a car, that's what they would all be riding to work and driving around. So they have a Honda 50 run. So they'll be up here. Hopefully they have a couple of old motorcycles with them. And then later on in the year, they have a tractor run. And they're both fundraisers to give money. They give money to the schools and the fire departments and stuff like that. So they'll have the tractors up here. So old, you know, old and new tractors.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff, like stuff that we used in Ireland.
Yeah.
Massey 35s and 65s and stuff like that. Yeah.
Nice. And the tractor run. So is that like a race or people can
ride?
No,
it's like a parade of tractors.
Right.
It'll start at McGrath, I think. They kind of change it. And it goes through the town up around the back.
Nice.
Back roads and back down by Milk Run and finish up back around here.
Yeah, that's great. I know a few kids who would love that.
Yeah, it's a real, they had like, I think they had 50 or 60 tractors last year.
Yeah.
They had a good showing. And yeah, it gets a little bigger every year. Yeah. So originally on this grounds, there was no buildings here. It was all big tents. We had huge tents, 100 by 100 tents and that's, so over the years we built buildings, so we still have this tent out here. A couple of years it had an open stage, but the weather, you know, if it's too hot, nobody wants to sit in the sun. If it's too cold and if it's raining, you just don't know what the weather, so the tent is, it works out better for us. Then we have this, and then over here we have the main McGrath building, and I guess these two, the tent and the main building, are kind of our main stages.
It's a pretty sprawling event. It's not huge, but you know.
No, we're kind of limited by our size here, but we are growing, and the goal is to expand and make things better, and we're looking to. We're looking to do a concert series through the summer, which we haven't done before. Different types of music, Irish music, country music. This is our main building. We can hold, you know, indoor concerts here and hold about 600 people.
Right.
We have Tweety and Lynn coming, which is the grandkids of Conway Tweety and Loretta Lynn. They're coming in June 21st. And our dance floor here, which we need to upgrade it, update it. Again, you know, as the money comes in, we'll fix it up.
Yeah, it's getting a little warped, but it's safer than other dance floors that I've seen.
It gets the winter plays hell on it. It bubbles up and it gets in, so we have to fix it every year.
Yeah, this is a little bit more of a traditional hall.
Yeah.
Dance hall, kind of.
It is, yeah. It's more like a dance hall. Yeah, we can hold dance events here. And stuff like that.
I love the soundproofing.
Yeah.
Hanging moving blankets from
the
rafters.
Right. Yeah. That's another type of fundraising thing we have to address. You know, it's on the list to try to revamp the ceiling in here and get rid of that moving blankets. But if you don't have them here, the sound bounces all over the place. So.
Yeah, it's long enough that, and sound is slow enough that it'll kind of play tricks on your ears
That's right.
as it bounces back.
Yeah. Yeah, with the metal walls and everything, it just, yeah, you kind of need something to absorb the sound and stop the bouncing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but you guys are making it work.
Yeah, so this is our main stage. A lot of our main groups are in here. And we have Mass here on Sunday. We have Father Fragamini comes from Chicago, and this is his 45th year of coming here. He's originally from Albany area, and he does a great job. He says this might be his last year. We're hoping it's not. But, yeah, Sunday morning we have Mass there, and then Andy Cooney opens up the festival on Sunday after that. He starts it up. Mm-hmm. His gate's locked. But this is our map of Ireland. We have the largest map of Ireland in the world here, bricks, and you can have your name engraved in it and put it in the map.
Interesting.
It shows all the different counties of Ireland is all mapped out on it.
So we're looking at a brick-paved kind of park with flagpoles on each section of Ireland, I'd imagine.
That's right, yeah. All the borders are laid out in the white brick, and it shows every county, and then it actually... signifies each province as well, like Ulster, Connacht, mm-hmm. Leinster. Yeah. The cottage, Donegal Cottage. There's an architect here worked on. Guaranteed Irish, and he donated that cottage. It was his mother's house in Ireland, and we brought it out here and reconstructed it.
Wow.
Brought the furniture out. So we brought stones out, and obviously we couldn't bring the roof out, but all the wood and everything, the windows and all came from Ireland, everything in it came from Ireland.
Wow.
We built that up there.
That's amazing. Is it... And was it originally, was it like dry stacked or with mortar in between each
mortar,
stone?
Mortar, like a lime type cement, and then whitewashed on the outside.
Yeah, so that's quite a process to de-stack that.
Right, and then bring it,
carefully take it apart and bring it back
reassemble here. Reassemble it here. And you can go into it. It's open during the festival. This gate's open during the festival. This park is open. You can go out here. We'll have the tractors will be out here and, on the 50, and there'll be maybe some rides out here. But anyway, there's another stage out here on the other side of the map. That's our cottage stage. So there'll be music out here. And there'll be soda bread and tea up in the cottage. Terry Patterson will be up there serving soda bread and tea, and you can walk through the cottage and see all the rooms. And not that it's very big. I mean, it's a typical... Irish cottage is from the 1700s, 1800s.
That must mean so much to some people that if they remember cottages like that.
Yep.
Older immigrants, and as well as, to have that memory showcased in real life for younger children.
That's right. The older ones remember, there's what they call in there a settle bed. It looks like a wooden bench, but it folds out to a bed. And at night, that's where you put six or seven kids on that bed.
Yeah.
And then the others would be spread out through the other two small bedrooms.
It sounds like a futon, but...
It's almost like a futon, but not as comfortable.
Yeah.
It's all wood, yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of the term Murphy bed, which sounds Irish, but
that's
it
right.
Doesn't sound quite like that.
Kind of like that, yeah. So we'll have music out there as well, and some Irish dancing. We have two Irish dance schools. We have Farrell School of Irish Dance, which is our local school. They've been around here forever, and I think they just celebrated their 51st year. We're actually honoring Michael Farrell this year. He passed away last year, so his wife and daughters are keeping the school going, but we're honoring both Father Fragamini and Michael Farrell. And then we have a group from Albany on Clare. So they'll be dancing in between acts out there on the main on the different tent stages. Mm-hmm. And we have a play group coming up from New York City that's going to do a couple of excerpts from their play. in between an Irish play.
Nice, hitting all the bases.
Yeah. So we have, and then we have the school, the local school, the women's choir, and they'll be coming up, I think, on Sunday, I think.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well,
you look in the schedule. I don't have it because I think we had to make a little change. It's either Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't make both days, so they're up one day. But it's the local high school women's choir. They're beautiful singers, great group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Nancy and Miss Mize or Sarah Mize do that, and they do a great job. They're from the high school up here. They do the play at the high school, and they run the, you know, they do the choir and the band and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
Wow. Yeah, it runs the full gamut of music types from traditional dance. Modern.
Yeah. And it's funny, there's a lot of people in our local area that don't even know about it. You know, every time I always meet people, I never knew this was up here. I knew you had the festival.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean,
it's hard to get the word out. We try to push it as much as we can on social media.
Oh, well.
Radio stations and such.
Things like this really spread best by word of mouth and seeing it.
Yeah.
Hopefully even hearing about it.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
we also have a full-size Gaelic football pitch, and we do have games up there every so often. It's a challenge. We're trying to get more and more football and hurling up here. But the city has a lot of their own fields down there, so it's hard to get people up here.
Right.
Ideally, we'd like to have a local team. But again, it's hard to get enough interest in that to put a team together.
Yeah.
So anybody looking to put a team, there's definitely interest in that up here.
Mm-hmm. So. And how about, what is it, rugby?
Yeah, I had rugby here out of Albany. There's a team in Albany. You know, the Memorial Day, I try to have games or exhibitions here, but the problem is a lot of them teams are college-based, and the colleges have already gone home. So it's it's very tough to get them to come here and play.
Somebody has to start a local rugby.
That's right.
League too.
Yeah, it's very popular in Ireland now. I have nieces and nephews that play rugby in Ireland, and it is a big deal.
Well, it's nice. You're also kind of up on a plateau over here.
Yeah, there's great views and stuff in here.
Yeah, see some of the hillsides surrounding. And I mean, as you were saying, it seems like it started as kind of a refuge for immigrants that were living in the city. And you know, the green environment, the natural world, is pretty close, near and dear to Irish culture.
Yeah, and the thing, you know, when you're in Ireland and a lot of countries and you talk about New York, the only thing to think about is skyscrapers.
Yeah.
And when they come up here, they're totally amazed that this is part of New York. And it's so country and so, and it brings them right back home again, you know?
Yeah.
Makes them feel good. We have about 50 acres here, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, we're trying to raise money all the time to expand, make things better, bring more events. If we have the museum building down here, we're very much in tune with the Irish Heritage Museum up in Albany. They actually used to have their museum here, and then they moved up to Albany. So we're hoping to, they have a new director up there, Mike Clark, so we're hoping to co-produce some stuff back and forth between Albany and here with the Irish Heritage Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
He does a great job up there. He has his concerts, you know. He doesn't have a big venue. I think it only holds about 60 people, but he has concerts there, I think, every other week, or at least a couple of times a month anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you got to do as a small organization like this, connect with some of those other nodes.
Right.
Right. expand the net.
Yeah, that's what we're looking to bring in as many different groups as we can and try to grow this and get plenty of events and, like I said, concerts and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want to tell people when the
Last year we started to open on Friday evening, which was an experiment, and it went pretty well, so we're going to keep it up. And so it's open Friday night around 6 o'clock, and we have an open singing session. So it's kind of an open session. It's not a heavy trad session. Sometimes when you say the word session, it gets to be very trad, but trad, definitely welcome, and we have instruments. Anybody with instruments, all welcome. But it's a lot of singing and singing along and playing along and some trad music and all that. That's Friday night. That's nice. 23rd.
That's a good way to open it up.
Yeah. Saturday and Sunday then, the 24th and 25th. And it's open 10 o'clock each morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gates will probably, I guess we'll have the gates open about 9:30.
Yeah, and I saw the list and some of what you mentioned. It's just packed with music.
Yeah, there's some great music. Some of them are going like the Wolf Tones are one of the first bands. The Feeney Brothers are technically opening the festival on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and then we'll have the Wolf Tones and stuff. And it's tough for them, you know. It's not a great slot because it is early in the morning, so I encourage people, if they can get here early, to support them.
Yeah,
but somebody has to play early.
Yeah. Somebody's got to play at 10 a.m.
We also have the Wolf Tones playing later in the day, so everybody gets a chance to, and other bands as well. And the Feeney Brothers are playing. Yeah, they're all playing different times. So.
Wow, yeah. A bit of a mecca for all Irish culture,
right.
All facets of it.
And we also have a raffle going on. That's online, but you can get your tickets and stuff online. And
yeah, so where can people find their tickets?
MJQuillIrishCenter.com, or they can Google East Durham Irish Festival, and it'll bring you to the site. And if you go on Facebook, there's the East Durham Irish Festival, and there's links right there, and it'll bring you, and you can buy your discounted tickets early on that page, or you can buy them at the gate when you get here. And it's all... We really started the whole electronic, the scanning and QR codes, and we got that all going this year. Started it a bit last year and developed it better this year, so yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
As you said, it's growing, and as an organization, you guys are growing.
Yeah,
finding different ways to get the word out.
We got a really good group of people the last couple of years. You know, like everybody else, COVID kind of knocked everybody in the pants a little bit, but it kind of gives you a new startup, you know?
Yeah,
so.
No kidding. Well, this is very exciting, and thanks for taking some time out to tell us about it.
Pleasure.
like to thank Michael from the Irish Center. And if you want to find out anything more about the East Durham Irish Festival on Memorial Day weekend, you can head over to